allegedly the place of dreams, or so I've been told. Since I haven't been before, I'm down to try it and explore. I'll try first thing now. You gotta be patient, 'cause you're teaching me the ropes. I know how to follow directions, so just tell me where to go.
Curiosity
gets the best of me.
Can I get a
90s
walk up real quick?
Boy, I gotta just say first, this job is a bit easier than the other one. I'm taking the trash out,
yeah.
So I still keep a clean out.
Dude.
There's more.
Way more.
Ooh. Who knew I would get this part? Rolling with my one size fit all. Lucky me, yeah. Even though this is not me, yeah. No, I don't plan on staying, but
Duran Renard Curiosity. Hey, welcome everybody. Hey, this is the Soul Sadness Show right here on Studio W Buzz, and we've got our illustrious host there, Q-Lane Green, EB and Whitney. Hey guys, what's going on?
Hey, well, that's the gem right there. It's one of my favorite songs off the Duran album. It's called Curiosity. He say, I like it till I try it. I'll try anything, but, well, that's a whole other subject. We ain't gonna get to that. I'm about to make a sexual. I'm about to make a sexual.
Finish your sentence.
We're not gonna do that.
I'll start it off like that.
Yeah, right? We're gonna start the show off just like that. That's a whole other subject, but we got special guests on the line. We gotta introduce our guests. We can't get too rowdy too yet before we get in the show.
Why not?
We got a right? Oh man, he don't know. He. This is first time on. We got. I can't give the heathen all the way up yet. But thank y'all for tuning in. Thank y'all for tuning in. Soul Savage Radio. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Listen. I was about to go another way, but I'm gonna stay on track. Listen, we got a special guest on, amazing writer, graphic designer. He's a jack of all trades. He's a musician. He's a singer. just amazing talent. I've seen most of his work has been posted on the publication Albinism. He did one of my favorite write-ups of my favorite album, Chaka's Naughty album that came out in 1980. He did a review of that, a tribute of that 40th anniversary. It was one of my favorite write-ups of this year. But yeah, y'all give it up right now for Mr. Mark Chappelle. How you doing tonight, man?
Hey, thank you. Yo, you read the Chaka piece. I can't tell you how proud I was of that. No, I'm a Chaka canologist.
I know.
I'm proud about that.
That's why you all, man, because we speak the same language. We speak the same Chaka-ism. That's what I call it, Chaka-ism. But, yeah, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Okay, so I feel at home. Good.
Yeah. Listen, we on the same wave. I know you're a Prince fan. You know, you said Joni Mitchell. You was hitting on all. If you would have added Ronald Isley, Al Green, and then we'd have been perfect fit right there because them all my people. All your favorites is my favorites, too. So thank you for coming on, man.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, we're going to get right to it, man, because I got so many questions. I looked at your bio, and you have such a diverse, like, count of just of your career path. I just want to get to, like, what came first for you in terms of professionally? Like, how did you get the path of all these different titles that you have?
Word, professionally? Okay. Well, look, like, I was in college, and I was broke. So I started out just, like, doing websites for just for fun. And then, like, somebody offered me money. I was like, oh, that's what's happening? Okay, so that just kind of changed everything. But I started out doing websites for Tone. And it was, like, before, like, people really knew who he was. And so, like, he did that thing at the Stellars where, like, they'd never heard his voice like that. And next thing you know, like, my name is popping up every time people go to his website, which helped me to, like, get other sites for Fred Hammond. I think I did, like, Natalie Wilson and the SOP Corral, like, a lot of stuff. And I started working with Gospel Flavor. Those people are my people. That worked with me going to make album covers for them when they started a label, Evidence Gospel. So, like, most of those Youthful Praise albums I did. So it's pretty much, like, anywhere there's music playing, I was trying to be. So whether it's like doing art for it or writing about it or listening to it and sometimes even making it, I was just trying to be in there.
And what?
Hey, where you at?
I want to know how. No. I was trying to think of my next question. My bad. I had a little delay because I was trying to think where I was going to go next. No.
I was like, did I say something wrong already? I was trying to save that till later. You know, before you said the one thing, and they'd be like, yeah, let's go ahead and, like, cut you off. Thank you for coming, Mark. We really appreciate you. We're just going to escort you out to the left.
I was trying to think of where I was going with it because I was like, man, you've done marketing, the packaging for those kind of albums. What is, I guess I can wait for that question and go back. What is it about your singing and your musical background? What was that path like? What came first is more
church.
What I should say. Okay.
Well, yeah, most black people, it starts with church, and then, like, you get out to other things. But my grandmother, you know, she was the one to play the organ at the church, and she said, like, you have to learn piano. I didn't want to learn piano, so I fought her about it. But, like, eventually, like, I ended up taking, like, classical piano for years, and that's cool. It gives you a good bass. But then, like, when they actually started having to play for my church, they don't have music. So you had to learn how to play ear. And I learned by essentially sitting there in front of the church for, like, weeks and weeks and weeks, just, like, pecking out note by note until I actually knew what I was doing. So, it's like training somebody for an entirely different job and then being like, okay, now you work here. And you'd be like, I'm not trained for that. So you got to start over from scratch. But, you know, it's actually a really, really good lesson because there's stuff you learn in black church that you just don't get anywhere else, which is why some of those best musicians come from there. That's all that is.
Yeah, and you're hitting it. We basically got the same background because that's my background. I started out professionally, but I got my grounding skills in church, and I didn't really, like, I was playing it, but I really, really didn't get it in depth of, like, how music works until I played gospel. And it was like, when you're in church, you know how it is. It's like, you got, you know, it's mostly, like, improv. So it's like, whatever the spirit comes on, somebody wants to sing like you sing one choir song and then they keep going for like 5 minutes. It's like you gotta expound that. You know what I mean? And you don't practice that. It's like, oh, we gonna keep going. And then just the spirit goes, but I get you on that. And you said classical trained. That's pretty much my background as well. So I was like, oh man, we all come from the same. That's what it is about musicians. I feel like you said, the best musicians start out in church because it's just a whole different discipline. Because if you've never really like consistently done it, you don't know how much. Like sometimes it's pressure, but then I think as long as you keep doing it, like playing with the musicians, you start getting at ease. Because I was kind of intimidated. I don't know about you, but I was intimidated by certain musicians because they were like, they're like 30 years in. You get some that's like 25 years in, 30 years in, and then, you know, you come in like new, trying to figure it out, and it's like, but you get home the right way, and it's like, am I good at this? Because y'all keep hammering it into me like I'm not good, but then, yeah. But what was it about church in terms of singing? Because for me, I started out singing in a choir, and then I started playing music. It was like the reverse for me. I was singing first, and then it went to music. How did yours happen in church?
See, this was the thing. They didn't have any other musicians, so they're just kind of like, look, you're here, you have to come to church, and we don't have to pay you, so you're going to play. So I'm like, but I want to at least sing in the choir. Like, no, we don't have any other musicians. Get back to the piano. I'm like, okay, fine. So, like, I always wanted to sing, and they wouldn't let me because, again, like, if that happened, they'd be singing a cappella. I'm like, all right, well, it's cool. So, like, when I went to college and I went to a different church, I just didn't tell them I could play at all. I just didn't say nothing. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm joining the praise team. Hee-hee. Yeah, so they didn't know anything. So I got to actually, like, learn that way, and it was great because, like, you get around, like, really good singers, and it takes work for you to stay bad. So you're going to learn. You're going to catch up. You're going to harmonize. You're going to hear. They're going to be like, oh, you're a little bit flat, a little bit sharp. Okay, there you go. Now you got it. Like, and they will let you know when you got it, and you will know when you don't. So.
Oh, for sure. You must was in a black. What was you in, a Baptist, or what kind of denomination was you in?
So, let's see. There's been non-denominational, a whole bunch of African Methodist Episcopal. Like, a couple times we visit the Baptist churches, so we know what that's like. There's a Kojic church we went to. There's this white, semi-cultish warehouse church that we went to. I'm like, okay, they had soul, but, you know, there's on some other stuff. It's cool. It's been a whole bunch of church. Yeah.
Have you gigged professionally outside of church?
Oddly enough, I have. I was a huge fan of this band called Mute Math, and there was another band that was like kind of related to them. Where I'm like, hey, I love what you do. Like, okay, just so you know, like I'm old. Like I hit them up on MySpace. So, they're like, oh, we see you're definitely a trained pianist, right?
Yeah. Right.
So since I play piano, they're like, oh, you know, we're starting a different band, like, that's as an offshoot. You know, would you like to audition? I'm like, would I? I'm like, of course. So, like, I joined the band, like, from Los Angeles, and, like, they're all, like, in Memphis and, like, Louisiana. So we would fly back and forth for rehearsals. Like, I think I recorded their EP with them in one weekend. And then we went touring all over, like, the United States in a tiny van doing our crazy, like, show with, like, I think we probably look like Gnarls Barkley's Music Sounds. Like, it was really weird. Like, the one black dude with all these white dudes on there. But, like, the stuff they were listening to, it came out in the music. It was a fun experience. But, yeah, that life isn't for me, but I wouldn't trade the experience for anything.
Right. Do you still practice?
Technically, I do, because everything in my head, like, I still see the chords when I'm listening to stuff. So, like, if I don't understand it, I might have to go to the keys and be like, okay, what is that? What key is it in? And stuff like that.
Oh, what? You are, like, literally the same person as me. Why are you the same person as me? I do the exact same thing. I thought I was the only one that did that. That's crazy.
Look, and there's some stuff I'm impressed by whatever I don't understand. So I think,
wow,
it, like, stuff like hearing My Life by Mary J. Blige, of course, that's in 4 Ayers, but I didn't know that at the time. Trying to figure out those chords was like, if I don't get these,
listen,
I won't understand.
Oh, my God. Those piano chords on My Life, when it gets to, what song is it? I want to say, Don't Go is one, and then, what's the one? Gotta Believe, that's the one. gotta believe.
Word.
That's the that one. It was like, what is this? How did he come up with this? And then Never Want to Live Without You. That's the one too. But it's like when you hear those chord progressions in there, it's like that's like personification R&B record. Like if somebody described R&B, I'd be like, my life. Like because those chords, even my life. Like that's like musician's favorite R&B musician's favorite record to play live is My Life. Because it's like, it samples Roy Ayers, and then it's like, all musicians want to jam off that. That's what I feel like. That's all they want to do is have a jam session off of it. But I'm going to let my other co-host go and ask you questions. I got more for you, man, but we only got 2 hours, and I got short my questions, but I got more for you. I might ask later in the show, but, Whitney or EB, y'all can go.
I had a couple just from, and these are curiosity questions. They may have nothing to do with music. I was looking at your article on Medium that you did over Shaka's Naughty, and I always look at everything that writers put up, and I saw in your profile that you mentioned, that you're a professional introvert. So I wanted, to hear a little bit about that, what that looks like for you, and if you think that there's an advantage to being an introvert versus like an extrovert or ambivert.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's an interesting question. Like, it's not music, but it can relate, because I feel like people who are introverted spend a lot of time introspecting, and there's some music that's just, I mean, it's not just about dancing to it, but, like, you feel it, and it makes you, like, question, like, where you came from and, like, what's going on. If you're an extrovert, like, a lot of that process is happening externally, like, with other people. Like, you get a lot of your processing done, like, in groups. But, like, extroversion, I'm sure people know about this, but it's not just about being shy. It's like, okay, how do you get your energy?
Right.
Like, some people recharge from being alone. And like a lot of times if you're alone listening to music, that's like a whole meditation in itself. Versus people who get their energy being like around groups of people, and they feed off of that, and it actually like energizes them. If I'm in a group of a whole bunch of people, like especially if I don't know them, like I might be cool, like I might be having a good time, but I got like a good 2 or 3
right.
hours before I'm like, okay, I'm tired.
I feel you.
And
mm-hmm.
I really want to just be in some headphones right now. So yeah, it's related to music, but it's entirely separate. Yeah.
That's interesting. I bring that up because as Q-Lynn was mentioning, like, all the different things that you do earlier, I think sometimes people can sometimes think that they need to be a certain way to accomplish, like, these different aspects of their lives that they want to accomplish. Like, we may assume Beyoncé comes to mind, like, off the top of your head, if you just look at her and how she performs and the different things that she has her hands in, you may like assume she's a certain type of way, and people, like, we look at each other like closely now because of social media and stuff like that, and so sometimes people feel this pressure to be something they're not because of those things. So I kind of brought that up, I guess, in a way to remind people, like, there's different ways, like, to get there, to get to your goals. Especially just those types of things are kind of coming out more and more in conversation just as this year closes and everything that people have been through. So I wanted to speak to that, just kind of like a grounding thing. And then something else that I found interesting on that same profile, it says that you're a recovering overthinker. So I say this as somebody who does overthink, still sometimes, like, what did that look like for you, and how did you go from being an overthinker to somebody who has stepped past that a bit?
So, I mean, I was trying to, like, be cool on here, but, like, you asked the questions, like, I just kind of have to, like, out myself as a total nerd. I'm super cerebral.
That's okay.
And I just learned that there's actually a term for exactly what you asked. Metacognition is thinking about thought. Everybody doesn't do that. They just have their thoughts and they are what they are. But some people think, like, why did I think that? Or how come this is happening? Are other people thinking things? And it's like a whole, like, developmental stage where, like, you realize from a kid to an adult how other people are having this process just like I am. That's different. But you also learn that you can do way too much of that, and sometimes you just have to not probe any further. Be like, all right, it is what it is. And, yeah, there's a time for everything. I've been there.
Yeah. Interesting. Yes, and then also with, now to the actual article, because Shaka is, when I think back, like, on my childhood, like, Shaka is somebody that I can remember playing from, like, no matter where I went, like, everybody just seemed to love Shaka, and maybe that was just my family, maybe that was just who they listened to. Was there anything in particular that put you onto Shaka, or do you have, like, a memory of, like, hearing her for the first time, and, you know, just what that looked like for you?
Well, I'm trying to think. The first time I heard Shaka Khan, it was probably Ain't Nobody, which that came out in 1983, which makes me feel super old, but it's cool.
Yeah, nothing
so
wrong
I'm like,
with
oh,
it.
I like that song, right? So when I Feel For You came out the next year, I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Because, again, like, everything was about big, crazy dance pop music, like, in the early 80s. And, like, Black people were getting their bag by getting those pop hits with soulful music. So I really loved that voice, but all I knew was the pop stuff. It wasn't until maybe I was, like, a teenager that my super saved auntie that had all these Shaka Khan albums decided, you know what, I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm not listening to this devil's music no more. So she gave her records away to another one of my relatives. I was just like, well, I don't want all this in my house. And I know you've been looking at these records for, like, 30,000 years, so why don't you haul them for me? Yeah, them records never came back. And so I got my own education of all this, like, 70s Rufus and Shaka music. And I could not get enough. It was like having my own personal library, and it was amazing to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a really dope experience. Do you have, because I hear how you got your Shaka collection, is there anybody else, like, who's... who you're a collector of, or anything else, like, musically that you find yourself collecting, like, for the memories or just because you like it?
Oh, man. There is literally a list in front of me because, like, I stay on discogs.com spending money. Friends be sending me vinyl back and forth. I collect CD singles from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, et cetera. Like, I love listening to acapellas just because I'm an overthinker, and I'm like, well, what is that one part that I can't hear because, like, the beat hit too hard and, like, the words, like, got overshadowed? Yeah, that stuff. Like, I love collecting those, like, acapellas and instrumentals. And I'm not dropping any names, but a friend of mine has, like, some hookup where he trades studio sessions between people. And so, like, I have multi-track stems for a lot of songs that I probably shouldn't have them for. But being able to, like, look and see how things were put together is fascinating. Apparently, there's, like, a whole community of people who do this. But, again, it's on the low.
Wow.
Like, if you ask people about it, it'll be a fight club. Like, it'll talk about it. Okay.
Interesting. Interesting. I wouldn't have known. I, like, have some I have a few things that I have, like, just random CDs that my parents, like, let me buy as a kid, and it's all just, you know, like Keisha Cole, Ashanti, like not anything too deep, but I hold on to them just because I'm like, you know, this was like big when I was growing up, and they kind of, you know, they mean a little something to me. And I think everybody on the show, unless I'm mistaken, has some type of music collection or something, some vinyl, some albums, some cassettes, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, just to kind of represent, like, our time and what we're into. So with that being said, thank you for sharing all of those thoughts with me, and I'll send it over to EB.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So why do you hate Luther Vandross?
Okay, so it's like this. He's boring. Oh, shit. I wasn't supposed to say that like that.
No.
Okay, first of all, I need to know who set me up, because that's such inside information.
Yo, look.
Let me clean it up now, because, like, I feel like I may have some people who are, like, keyboard warring at me right now. Luther Vandross is like, bar none, one of the best vocalists that you're ever going to hear, like, technology-wise. People didn't have his control. People could not execute the things he could execute as smoothly as he could. And it's not just about smooth. Like, when you know that you're supposed to take certain breaths between phrases, that you're able to support the note that's coming after it, and, like, you realize how we let people get away with murder because they don't necessarily do that, but, like, the beat was dope, or they had a really great song, or they have, like great personality or whatnot. Like, Luther is, bar none, just, like, one of the best vocalists you can compare yourself to. However, I, as a kid, like, I was trying to, like, listen for anything that had beats to it. Luther Vandross's music was very beat thin. We'll say, like, there was, like, never too much. And, like, I had this big argument with my friends where I was like, yeah, like, Luther's music doesn't bang. And they played me these songs that were, like, mid-tempo, like, soulful, groovy. I'm like, yeah, this is cool for, like, rock and left to write, but... yeah, okay, so it's coming up. All right, it's coming up. Matter of fact, just today, on my friend's show, the R&B Representatives, they put me on blast for saying my favorite Luther Vandross song is The Best Things in Life Are Free with Janet Jackson. All right, listen, how many songs did Luther ever do that actually had, like, hip-hop to it or were, like, above, you know, 90 beats per minute or something? Like, it was not typical for Luther, and, like, he sounded great on it. But they're like, yeah, Mark said this was his favorite, and we just looked at him like he was crazy. Look, yeah, Luther is amazing, but, like, his lane is chill music, and I was not trying to chill. That, and, like, I grew up in a church with a whole bunch of older folks, like, singing in the choir all the time, and every time I hear, like, those background vocalists that he had on every song, it just made me think of, like, the older folks choir that just, I mean, they can sing. But she was not really going to be excited about anything else happening there. But, you know, it's just never mind. Like, I've already said too much. And thank you for having me on the show. So I'll score myself off to the left.
No. Look, in all seriousness, I have zero questions for you. I mean, Mark, if for anybody listening, Mark is family. He is a part of my tribe. INA8 is always in the building. So shout out to G, Elise, Junior, Renee, and Mika as well. No, I don't have any questions for you. I will say earlier, when you said that you were introverted and you were explaining what it meant to be a professional introvert and the difference, you know, people think is usually means shy. I will say meeting you for the first time, I didn't get shy, but I very much got introverted. I got, you know, someone who has this strange curiosity about the world and everything in it. And you were very attentive to, like, everything going on in all of your surroundings. So I'm just happy that you are here, and I just want to say, oh, man, I love you, man.
Oh, man, thank you. See, now I'm feeling all kind of way.
Look, I just got to keep it real. You know, you're family, so I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. Be good people.
No, but that's it.
I can't believe you put me out there like that.
I mean, look, I had to mess with you in some way, and after Junior and Elise did it, I was like, all right, yeah, this is a thing that we got to all do, because we're going to make you you're going to love Luther's 80s material one day. I'm going to make you fall in love with it.
Listen, I feel like y'all did a very, very good job, you know, presenting to me, because again, like, since you put me onto Don't You Know That, I'm like, all right, actually, that's dope, and then Rahsaan covered it, and I'm like, yep, that's a good look.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, like, it's all, like, great things to find in there. But I think, like, I have to move outside of, what are my joints, Anyone Who Had a Heart, Any Love. You was there when they made the list, so.
Yeah.
I feel like there were some respectable songs on there, but you didn't give me my props, so it's cool.
I mean. Hey, listen, the best things in life are free, so that's all I got.
All right, see, that's it, you know. I thought we were cool, but now I find out what's going on.
Oh, we the coolest. And I love that song, by the way. That's one of my favorites, honestly. I do be jamming when that come on, but that's the only question I have.
So you acknowledge both singers, even the one that you can't really hear?
I mean, once I turn the stereo up and isolate her vocals, then I can hear her.
But the first couple times,
I didn't know that Janet was even on the song. I thought it was just Luther. They were like, Janet Jackson. I was like, oh, she must just be in the video dancing, and they were like, oh, no, she has a verse, and she's helping to sing the chorus. And I didn't know. I didn't hear it. Just didn't hear it.
Wow. You know, I'm going to let that slander pass. Because I think that somewhere inside, deep, deep inside, you have a good heart.
Way deep, way deep inside.
It's in there. Like, I'd be looking and it's, yeah.
Way deep. Trust me. I love Janet. I joke about Janet. I joke about everybody, but I go on Janet a lot, and I know Janet is your girl.
Wow. Yeah, and I finally got to meet her last year. I'm so glad I did. I paid, like, the cost of a small child, but I had my photo with her. And
yes.
You're going to love this. When I met her, she said something to me, but I couldn't hear it.
Oh, I knew it.
I don't have anything else to say in the
listen. They are, those Jacksons, well, most of them, they are soft-spoken people, and we're going to love them anyway, in spite of, you know, their inadequacies. We're going to love them anyway.
Inadequacies? LaToya sings down. You have to understand, you know, like, you can't play Marlon like that. Like, he got both.
I mean, listen, Jackson. We all know that Rebe Jackson is, like, the queen of soul, so... I'm not talking bad about
her. The way Rebe sang on the bridge of Centipede, though, like, you got to give her props.
Yeah, you do. You do.
Yep.
I mean, without Martha Wash's help, but yeah, you do.
See, everybody always want to give Martha Wash credit just because she actually had the voice coming out there. But, you know, I'm sure Rebe, like, had, like, the backgrounds for the background. Anyway, I'm just saying.
I mean, you know, she did a little ying-ying around the house.
Okay, see, this is... Every time I think you're going to act right, man, you show your true colors.
Act right is just not in
did you say yin-yang around the house? Is that what
yeah,
you said?
Yeah,
exactly
look, that's
what he said.
Around the house.
All right.
And this is why I don't take him nowhere no more.
I think this is a perfect segue. I think this is a perfect segue to introduce our guest, another guest we have on. We got another special guest on. She is an advocate. She's a professor. She's a radio host. She's founder of Just With Products. Amazing products, by the way. Got me through some tough times, you know, when I was out here gigging, you know, for my back and for my ankles, you know, because I'm washed out here. So her products definitely helped in the time of need. But I want y'all to give it up right now for our recurring guest. Just a great guest to have on, Miss Julie McShay. Y'all give it up right now.
Hey, y'all.
We got Julie on.
Hey.
I miss y'all.
I know, right? Ooh. It's been too long. It's been too long.
Oh my gosh. Well, what a great way to end 2020 is with y'all. I mean, cause
I know. I said I got to have you on before the year is over with because it's been too
long.
Yes. What have you
how
been up
doing?
To before? We're good. We want to know how you doing before we go to break. What you been up to?
Everything. I'm literally sitting upstairs inside our NAACP office wrapping gifts for a giveaway on Saturday. So I was like, okay, I need a lamp in this room. There's no light in this room, but I need to be in here so I can do these calls and wrap these gifts simultaneously.
Listen, so, you out here working. You getting it done. She was like, I'm on a
conference.
Right. She's on a conference call. She was just on the conference call. She was like, I'm about to jump in any minute. I was like, I got you. We got you. You just jump on hold. I was like, we go find to make it work. But yeah, you out here multitasking, you know, just black girl magic, all the above, black excellence. You doing the damn thing. I've been watching your posts on Instagram. You've been really, I guess we're going to get into that when we get to our political segment, because I want you to sound off on everything that's happening. I know you've been keeping up with the Georgia election that's about to come up, and you've been heavy into the politics this year, and I can't wait to hear your opinion on that. But right now, real quick, we're going to go to break, and we are going to do a back-to-back song. So y'all want to try to get into these. These are the best songs to me of 2020. We're going to play, shout out to TJ Moses. It's her birthday today. I had to play this Cashmere Compliments again because it's just a great song. And then we got John Legend. He put out one of the best albums this year. I feel like, hands down, top five album. I've listened to it multiple times. It's a great, great album. But yeah, we're going to go to break real quick and hit y'all with these back-to-back songs, and we'll be back with 6 Minutes of Rage.
A whole lot of wanna touch my crown. Why the hell should I shoot you right there, right now? that I'm trying to be bougie or nothing. It's just I'm a grown woman and I know what I want and what I don't want.
Speak louder than love song. Speak louder than love songs. Speak louder than love songs. The melodies they carry on. Actions speak louder than love. Words speak louder than love songs. I've been doing it all wrong.
Welcome back to the Soul Savage Show on Studio W, your global radio.
That was a jam right there. Woo! Actions, that's from John Legend's new album, Get Bigger, came out this year. Yeah, what we're going to do real quick, we'll go to 6 minutes of rage with Will, if he's ready, or do you need me to talk a little bit more so you get ready? You ready, Will?
Oh, I'm ready now. Let's get this.
Let's go. 6 minutes of rage.
Georgia, you're on my mind. Look, we did it once. We can do it again. Back with more of that in a second. Mar-a-Lago. Yeah. They said, no, Mars. Don't bring your ass down here. You know, guys, he's supposed to get having residence set up at Mar-a-Lago. No, the law says when you signed it that you can only stay there for 21 days. And they said, get out. All right. Well, Melania's packing the bag. She's already halfway there. Bill Barr, exit stage right. Oh, yeah, that bootlicker, he couldn't take it no more. He had to leave. I had to leave. Pardon me. No, 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 buddy. You can't pardon yourself. And guess what? If you do that, that AG in New York, she says, I'm waiting because you just admitted guilt. Huh, Rudy, Rudy, Rudy. Anybody that's that damn dumb that's going to hire Rudy, that paint dripper, did you see him sweating paint on the side of his face? Okay, you will hire him as an attorney, or you are dumber than I thought you were. These Republicans, yep, that's right. The party has been knee deep, and they're talking about draining the slot of the what? The swamp? No, let's flush the toilet. It's stinking up in that White House. Oh, the dickhead says I'm not leaving. You know what? You love ratings. I guess what? Stay there. It's going to be the biggest thing of the last two centuries, okay? You like Raiders, you'll get them. Don't leave. See what's going to happen. I'd love to see them drag your ass across the lawn. Goosnake, the bitch, he says, oh, my God, we're going to get something done. You've been holding up money, right? It's not yours, okay? You're from one of the poorest states in the nation. And, yep, you said, hey, the blue states, oh, they need to file bankruptcy. You're taking out $39 billion than you put in there. No, I'm sorry, it's 36. New York puts in approximately $29 to $30 billion more than they take out. Oh, relief is on the way, we'll see. Oh, big balls. This police chief, you guys got this, out of Houston, Texas, decides that he's going to do something about voter fraud. So what this clown does, runs an air conditioning repairman off the side of the road, saying he had 750,000 illegal votes in the truck. Held him at gunpoint. The police chief, guess what, buddy? Those bars that you lock, I guess what? You don't get a key this time. Oh, boy. Oh, Beck. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. There's gun threats. These people are absolutely crazy. So I've come to the conclusion, if you are a Trump supporter, either you are completely stupid, or you are completely stupid. Hey, let's get back to Georgia, the most important Senate race of, well, let's say ever. Folks, we did it once. We can do it again. Get back out and vote. The goose, they got to go. Can't have it no more. Back to you, Q-Lan. This is my 6 minutes of rage.
I love Will's segment. Will's segment, it like tickles the shit out of me when he be talking. He got so many names for him. I can't keep up. He's like Gooseneck, McConnell. It's a whole thing. But right now, we go.
Hey, don't forget Left Eye Lindsey. Left Eye Lindsey.
Left Eye Lindsey. Cocaine, was it Rudy Cocchiani and Keep Up Trump. That's what I call him.
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to let our guest go first. You, Julie, you can go first, and then Mark, you can go after Julie. You comment on his segment.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm back. So what am I commenting on?
You comment on Will's segment. What? Yeah.
About Trump and McConnell.
Mm-hmm.
So let me start with Georgia. Georgia is incredibly important. Incredibly important to us because of the way the Senate will go, you know, what will be able to be done in Congress and what we can stop McConnell from doing. McConnell will go down in history 20 years from now as I'm getting ready to retire from being a professor, maybe, unless my husband retires me. But 20 years from now, textbooks will read very differently, you know, but McConnell will definitely be in history books for what he's done. His legacy, love him or hate him, it exists. And he will be known as the architect of the federal courts. What he's done in these last, I would say, 4 years with the courts, or even 6 years with the courts, has impacted the next at least 50 years. We know once someone is appointed to the federal bench, they're there forever. So these votes coming out of Georgia, yes, it's for two candidates that we want to win. And I'm saying we because that's just because I'm saying what I'm saying. John Ossoff and Reverend Raphael Warnock, you know, I think it's very important that we elect these two to the Senate so that, one, we can shift the Senate, and two, not only shift the Senate, but pull the power from Mitch McConnell, literally unplug his power. We saw how they rushed to put someone on the Supreme Court after Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away, you know, and honestly, I think the rush was the expectation that Amy Coney Barrett would vote opposite of how she voted last week when the Supreme Court had those cases from the orange fella.
Mongoose.
I hate saying that because orange is my favorite color.
Beaver hair. Go ahead.
But I think it's very important that we realize just how important that is. So if you don't live in Georgia, what can you do? Well, I don't think giving more money to the campaigns is as needed as calling people in Georgia that you may know. If you live near Georgia, if you can go there and, you know, urge people to the polls. I know we're in the middle of a pandemic. I've spent half this year pretty much just devoted to GOTV efforts. I mean, I've done the door-to-door. I've done voter registration drives every weekend. I know what it is to risk your life for freedom and liberation, just like putting it out there, because our lives were threatened by the current administration. Let's face it, whether you're talking about racially threatened or if you're talking about with this pandemic, you know, it just came out that someone in his administration wanted people to die. You know, like, come on, like, we don't have time to not pay attention to what's happening in Georgia. The other part of that is, well, the lesson to learn from Georgia, right? The lesson to learn is there's no reason why Jamie Harrison did not get that nomination coming out of Carolina. You know, he should have beat Lindsey Graham. So we have to address that, because South Carolina is a very black ass state. You know what I'm saying? I know that's easy state, you know. So, and South Carolina has a long history of fighting, I mean, like, a long history of fighting and of showing up. So we have to look at the party, Democratic Party leaders, and we also have to look at our community leaders to address the failures in not electing Jamie Harrison in South Carolina. That really hurt. Same thing with Mississippi. You know, Mike Espy was in a runoff. Now, there's no reason why Espy didn't win that Senate race besides, you know, what did the party fail at doing, and what did local community leaders fail at doing? Did they just take a bag and shut up, not urge people to the polls like we're seeing in Georgia? Like, what really happened? Because, and I say that because Mississippi voted to change their racist flag, and they voted to legalize forms of marijuana. So, no, we won't have this sign of racism, and yes, we'll let y'all have some weed, but no, not this black man to become the first U.S. senator from this state since Reconstruction. Like that's huge. And Mike Espy is a very he's very capable of being a U.S. senator. He's the former Secretary of Agriculture, you know what I'm saying? So he knows federal government, so it would be most ideal for him to become from an agricultural state and being the former agricultural secretary, you know, why wouldn't they have gotten him elected to the U.S. Senate? He did everything he could, you know. So why did the party fail in that regard? Because just like South Carolina, that is a black state, you know. And I will argue that Mississippi is blacker, and I know it is, than Georgia is. So what happened in South Carolina and Mississippi? We've got to address those things. But after we get business taken care of in Georgia. Now, I missed the rest of it because I was on my other call, but I did catch the tail end.
You're good. Okay.
Okay.
You know, I love Julie.
No, you bring up some interesting points. She's bringing up some very interesting points there. And I'm just going to say this real quick and just get off, step aside, right? Voter intimidation. South Carolina, Mississippi. Go back. Stacey Abrams had no business losing that race in Georgia. Okay, in the very beginning. Now, what I find, which is very interesting, with these orange orangutans out here that still voted for this clown, he lost in 2016 by 3 million votes. He won the Electoral College. I have questions about that. This time, he lost by over 7 million votes and the Electoral College, and they're calling fraud? Who took out the mailboxes? Who's been calling on the malicious?
We all know that shit. Listen,
come on.
You see there, these people, they want to make up stuff. It's clear as day what it is. It's not, there's nothing rigged about this election. It's just ridiculous at this
they
point
know
to
it
argue
too.
With them because they just want to say shit just to say it. But go ahead, Mark, real quick so we can wrap this up.
Listen, I'm sorry. I can't do a whole bunch for you because I'm one of those people who's just still in awe that our life is what it
still
is right now. You know, I love like all 8 years of Obama, you know, having a black man for president the first time. That was awesome. But I also remember like when, say, having somebody like, you know, Bush Sr. was like, he was in office and you're like, okay, we don't like his policies, but he wasn't, I don't know if I can say this, effing everything up royally.
You can say, we are kind of uncensored, so you can say it.
I'm just saying because you can't take it back, and I'm not trying to have the SEC on your
ass. You can talk, Julie, you know, man. Don't act brand new. I know you've been gone for a while. Y'all can let it go.
Yeah, she does all the time. Q-Lynn does all the time, so don't worry about it.
I know, that's what I'm about to say. It's good at this point. Go ahead. Say what you got to say.
At this point, it's like even being alive during the sense of time does something to your sense of justice because if you paid attention to anything in the last 4 years, you've seen so much flouting of the rules, like, you know, so many people acting like emoluments aren't a thing. We saw a whole impeachment trial where, a president was literally impeached in front of our eyes, and then half the country acted like that didn't happen. Like, we didn't even hear that talked about, like, on the run-up to the election. We have a president who has actually committed treason, and like nobody is talking about that.
That's right.
The ways it's frustrating is like if you have like a younger brother or sister in your house and they are like tearing up stuff and like your mama doesn't say nothing, and you know, like if that was me, I would get my ass whooped. And you just sitting here looking like, I can't believe this is happening to me. As soon as mama turned the corner, I'm tearing you up. You right there. It's gonna be me and you. I'm really gonna fuck you up. Because you need it. Like, the sense of justice is like, I can't believe that the pendulum has swung so far into the direction it has. That's why I'm really glad that the voters mobilized in the territories that they did. If I was in Georgia, yes, I'd have a whole bunch more to say about it. But I'm in California. We've done our job already. So, so.
Yeah. Right.
There's a lot more work to do. Like, I realize that Biden getting elected isn't the victory. Like, it's the start of the next race. Because, yeah, he'll have to be held accountable, too. I know. But, Jesus, I can't tell you anymore because I'm still over here licking my wounds.
Right. I don't, I know Biden was asking us all for, he sent us a Cash App on his first day of election. I'm like, sir, like, I'm not giving you no money, sir. I need you, go ask him. He's like, y'all got, can you just give me $20? Like, no, till Thursday. That's how he did us with that. I'm like, I ain't got it for you, man. We're good.
Yeah.
I'm like, dip into your funds and pay for it. I'm not, listen, I know Trump is holding up the process of you, turning things over to you, but I'm like, that ain't got nothing to do with me, sir.
Right, right.
They still trying to divvy up our taxes. I'm still mad about that I pay more taxes than Trump. I'm still mad
about
that.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
Hey, Q, I got a question for E. EB, there's a couple of things I'd like for you to address. Number one, that damn gooseneck, bitch the bitch, had the nerve to talk about let the blue states like New York go bankrupt when your state that you work in and you pay taxes in pay into the federal system about, I think it's about billion dollars a year. Okay? More than they take out. Down there in Kentucky, which is one of the poorest states, they take out almost that, $36 billion more than they even put in. How does that work?
That's the, so this is the thing. I do believe what Julie said earlier about his legacy, the history book selling. They will talk about the legacy that he has built, and a lot of what he is doing now will be forgotten. I also believe that Mitch McConnell died maybe around 1996. He does look like he is decomposing. But for someone who represents Kentucky, of all states, to now speak on what New York is doing financially when New York is actually putting way more into the federal government than they are getting. As someone who lives here right now, I can tell you we ain't getting shit from the federal government at this current time. Like, it is New York is a very different place than it was a year ago or even 10 months ago. New York is a very different place. So for it's hard to speak on Mitch McConnell without getting really disrespectful and dirty. And it's only that way because you see this blatant, it seems to be hatred that he has for the American people. And this, I think he rests solely on his legacy and what it has been. And that is why it is important that we take all power away from him.
That's right.
That's all I really got. Like,
check this out.
On this.
He calls himself the Grinch. He calls himself the Grinch. If anybody is paying attention, next thing, last thing with for me, EB, the AG in New York says a orange orangutan, mushroom, small stem. I'm waiting on you. She is waiting for it.
What
small stem?
January 21st, I'm telling you right now, January 21st, Trump better be careful. His best bet will probably be to leave the country because although the federal government can't do anything, the state of New York, and there are other states as well,
that's
but the state
right.
of New York, they are waiting. Like Thursday morning at 8 a.m., as soon as business hours begin, they will all be early. Somebody will stop at the bodega and get bacon, egg, and cheese for everybody and coffee. And they will all be there with their Tim's on, ready. We got the wrap.
You said a bacon, egg, and cheese
envelope
from the bodega.
That's right. That's right. We got the subway rats licking envelopes to mail out. Like, everybody, the whole state. It's not just the humans here. It's everybody in the state. We are ready for him. Because come Thursday, January 21st, the federal government might not be able to do anything, but the states, they can do a lot.
A lot.
Trump is, I know Letitia James is She's ready for Trump. Like, she is ready.
Yes. Listen, he better not go to the bodega because Poppy's going to mistake his hair for a cat. Listen, he's going to think he's like, get out the...
No, he, like...
He's going to tell him to get out the store. Poppy's going to tell him to get out the store. He's going to think he's a cat.
Listen, that is one of his biggest mistakes is feeling comfortable in the fact that, well, the federal government can't do shit to me. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, they can't. But the states...
Oh, they can bend them over.
They about to eat your ass up. They about to bend it over, whip cream it, eat it up, loosen it up,
oh,
and stick it on in. They ready for them.
My God.
They ready.
I was not ready for that mental energy.
You got anything else to have before we go to break?
I don't think I think we should just end it right there.
I think we said whip cream.
No.
The visual that. I didn't need that. That wasn't it.
Orange and white are real good together. They're about to get him.
Listen, Trump's gonna be like, "Go slow, go slow." That's what Trump said. That's not what he told Putin.
He didn't tell Putin to go slow. Why he gonna tell us to go slow? He let Putin tear it up.
He's like, that wasn't that great. He said, "I have better." It wasn't that great. That's what he gonna say in prison. He's like, it wasn't that great. It wasn't great at all.
Well, see, y'all missing something, too. You know, hold on 1 second. Y'all missing something. I don't think Putin is not too happy with Trump right about now. He lost that damn election. He said, bitch, I told you to win this thing. And he didn't.
Yep. He said, bitch, I told you.
See, I already told you.
Putin's just one of those people he's just riding with whoever he could try to manipulate. He could easily manipulate Trump because he don't know shit. That's why he could get away with what he did. He ain't going to do that to no real politician because Trump ain't no politician. That's why he can do all that.
But you understand,
Putin is the head of the Russian mafia.
Putin is the head of the Russian mafia. We know how mafia...
I don't know.
All right, okay. I'm telling you right now.
We ain't trying to get shut down. I ain't trying to get nobody to shake down on me. You might be messing around tomorrow.
QLin said, fuck the FCC. He said, fuck Trump. He said, fuck everybody. Fuck Mary. But baby,
I did not. Who? What Mary? Mary had a little lamb. Is that what you talking about? I ain't never say no Mary.
Okay.
Putin and the Russian mafia. Cuba said she ain't in it and she ain't in it. She ain't hear nothing. Word on the street is this will show anyway.
I ain't messing around. I'm just like you with Mike Tyson the other week with everything, that impression. I'm like you with him.
You don't want no beef with Mike. I don't want no beef with no so-called mafias.
I'm telling you. Look, I ain't saying against Putin.
Listen, I watch Equalizer, okay? They don't play, okay?
I ain't got nothing against Vlad. That's between him and the orangutan. Vladimir Putin. That's between you and that guy. I'm just saying. He wants his money back.
Perfect segue for us to go to break. That's what I think. We're gonna go to break real quick, and we're gonna talk about the highlights of 2020. We're gonna talk about music, entertainment. We covered the politics part.
A good idea.
I'm surprised for saving our 2020. That give me something else to think about besides this quarantine and what's going to be coming ahead because we're gonna be locked down like we're gonna be in first 48 or something like we about. Like we in a TLC reality show or something. That's what we're going to be in the next 100 days. We're going to be locked down and out.
All right. We'll get it. Let's get it.
Yeah. But, yeah, we'll be back, y'all.
If you won't be where I is, don't go talking big and popping shit. If you cannot handle it, if you want me, then meet me where I am.
Where I am.
You see where I am. So catch me if you can. first, you're gonna have to cross that bridge. If you won't be where I is, don't go talking big and popping shit if you cannot handle it. If you want me, then meet me where I am. You see where I am, so catch me if you can.
Don't go back down.
Hey, we're back, folks,
yes.
With Q Lynn.
Hit me!
About to get into another cut. Listen, that was Lettucey. That was off the Lettucey, the Wild Card album that came out this year. It's called Who I Am. It's a great song. It's one of my, I think, my top two off that album. I got a lot of favorites. I've really just played the whole album through. It's really good. But yeah, we're playing the best songs and albums of 2020. And yeah, those are all my favorites. What albums have y'all been getting into this year? What y'all, or have y'all been listening to albums, or y'all just been getting into singles? I know 2020 is like a whole year that went by, but have y'all been, what music y'all been listening to in terms of like that came out this year?
I will say that I'm
stuff that wasn't terrible.
Ooh.
You said what?
I'm sorry. I said there was some stuff that wasn't terrible.
Yeah. y'all got a favorite song? Y'all have a favorite single or 2020 or album y'all been listening to?
For me, it's been Brandy. Sorry, man. I keep
No, you're good. No, you're good.
He said it.
You're good.
Say it again. Borderline. No, keep going, BB.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Borderline because I was going to say Brandy.
That's so funny. Evie, really? Was you rocking with that album? Or not?
No. I,
What?
No, I didn't listen to a whole lot of... It was bad. I just didn't listen to a whole lot of albums this year, technically. I guess it was more of a singles year than anything, for me. I think if I was just going on the albums that I was listening to, it's only like three or four albums that I've actually listened to and enjoyed this year. I've listened to albums, but I've not enjoyed albums. I don't think they just don't do it for me, or they haven't done it for me this year so far. So I'm hoping 2021 is a different year musically than 2020 was.
What?
For me.
Are you serious? What?
Yeah, I mean,
I've
liked songs, but a whole entire albums. I've sat and listened to albums.
Oh, my God.
I've never had the urge. It's rare that I've had the urge this year to listen to an album and, you know, go back and be like, oh, I need to hear that again. Let me play that over. Like, I understand, you know, what the artist is going through or what they're talking about right now. Like, I've not connected with music in that way this year.
I understand that one.
Wow.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
The Bernard album, that one was the best one. Like, to me, like, that was, like, the whole album is fire. Mm-hmm. And, really? Wow.
Yeah, like everything.
It was just on a whole different level.
I feel like it's, and I don't know if it's, I'm not sure exactly what it is, but this, like, this disconnect with the artist right now, the popular artist, I should say, or not even just the popular artist, but anybody. Like, none of my favorites have put out material this year. Well, you know, material worth discussing because there's been some stuff released, but I'm not into it. But, I'm just hoping 2021 will be better. I'm hoping that I will get more of what I want because I don't want to take it away from everybody because there are people that, like you enjoy the albums that have come out this year, some of them. So, you know, it's just a personal thing for me. Like, if I don't feel connected with the project, if I don't feel connected with the music, it's not something I want to go back to. Like, I listen to Toni Braxton, I listen to Kim, and I listen to, there was someone else, John Legend, I listened to Teyana Taylor, you know, I've listened to all of these albums, but I've never been like, oh, let me play that album again. No. Not even Ledisi's album, and I love Ledisi. But
what?
It was like,
are you kidding?
Songs,
oh my God, you're like blowing me right now.
No,
that's
I mean,
insane.
there are songs I love, and I can go back and listen to certain songs, but I miss the days where I would put on an album and I'd press play and let it ride.
That's what I do with the songs we played on the show, the John Legend, the Ledisi, the Rand Bernard's album, I listen to, and I'd be on the road. So I'm in the car most days for like 8 hours, and it's like that's all I listen to because they're good albums.
Mm-mm.
Wow,
I've been going like most of what I've been listening to.
What are you
to
looking for? What are you looking for in a song for it to grab you? What do you want
to
replay?
I just have to connect with it. Like there has to be some sort
in what
of
way? In what kind of connection?
I mean, it has to, like music to me is a transcendent experience, so it's like a spiritual awakening for me. And if I don't feel it, then I just can't get into it. And there are songs again that I felt, but a whole album where I'm like, oh, let me play that album again.
But what are you searching? But what are you look? Are you looking at it from how they're presenting it, or how are you? What are you connecting to?
Well, see, that's the thing that's hard to explain because music to me is like a personal thing. It's almost like religion for me. So it's hard for me to quantify what it is that I'm looking for. It's like, it's a feeling. It's like, oh, I will know it when I hear it. And I'm not saying that I've, I'm saying I haven't heard it this year. Not that I've listened to everything that's dropped this year, but I haven't heard it this year. There have been years where I have heard it. There have been albums that I have connected to. I think and a lot of the time going back, I listen to a lot of stuff from the 70s and 80s, like primarily like today. So when I'm doing when I'm trying to get out of that mode and I want something newer to connect to, it's harder because the elements of the songs have changed so much or elements of, you know, the albums or the production or the backgrounds or whatever. All of that has changed. So in turn, I think I just feel differently towards it. And it's not necessarily a negative feeling. It's just like, oh, you know what? Maybe they didn't make that album for me. And that's okay. I've done a lot of that this year. Like, oh, you know what? That's probably good, but they didn't make, you know, it's not for me, not that they personally made an album for me, but you know, it's not my type of thing. So, but I'm happy that there is music being released that people are connecting to.
Hey, since you mentioned that, I'm curious, do you feel like some of those heavy hitter artists are actually like they have stuff in the chambers, but they're just holding out because they're like, they don't know what this pandemic is going to do and they can't tour behind it. So they don't want to waste their money.
Of course. You know, of course I think there's one side of the spectrum of people like, Toni Braxton or people like Ledisi or like you know, they're releasing this music and they're happy to do it during the pandemic. But there are other people who, for them, and not even just the like heavy hitters, but a lot of the OGs, like that's how their bread and butter is in their touring. That's how they make their money. So I think a lot of them are looking at it from this perspective of why would I waste, you know, a good album, or why would I waste a good song right now when I can't even tour? And by the time the world is open again, quote unquote, you know, people are going to forget about it or it won't be as hot. So I think a lot of people are holding on to stuff. They got in the vault and they're not ready to release it yet for whatever reason. I'm not saying that's everyone's motivation, but yeah, I definitely think people are holding on to stuff because of that reason for touring.
It's been short on, but I'm just saying, if I would give, like, the bad for bad, because Gregory Porter's album is dope to me. I feel like that's
It's a good
John
it's
Legend.
A good album, but I don't want to go back and listen to it. Like, it's the same as John Legend. Yeah,
I can understand where you're coming from, because where Mark was talking about Luther, me and him, because I told him on Twitter, I 100% get what he's saying, because it's like, for me,
I like a mix of everything. Like, ballads is cool, but I'm not no ballad girl. Like, I don't, like, it's good for two songs, but I'm not trying to hear that shit, like, that mellow shit for, like, a whole album. Like, I need, like, variations, and most of it, I need the groove to be there. That's where I'm centering it around, is that and the vocals and the background vocals. Okay, how did you do this? How you do that? And I'm like, is your vocals on point? And it's like, okay, what is you singing about? And then I'm trying to take in every aspect of the music. Like, I'm not just looking at one layer of the groove, but if that groove is there, like, everything in pocket, like, everything gonna be straight. Like, if the background, if the harmonies is on point, and the lead vocals is on point, it's like, that's a good album. And it's like, for me, that's where I'm looking at it. I'm listening to the lyrics. And I think Duran, I think his ability, because a lot of people don't realize how hard songwriting is. And his idea of melody, he builds off the melody, and it's hard to create from that. And then when I listen to his lyrics, it's like, he's like got a mix of like humor, and it's like, it reminds me of Thundercat Records. Like, the way Thundercat, is I'd be laughing because I'd be looking at it from how they present it, and it's like, oh, this is a great album, because most people don't get into Thundercat's last album, but to me, it was dope, because he brought a lot of humor to it, and then I didn't understand, he had a lot of, what's that word, anime, a lot of that anime humor, and I don't watch, that's not my audience, like, that's not me, I don't check out anime and stuff like that, but I'm learning, listening, the references that he's using is making me go back and try to figure, I'm like, oh, that's what he's referencing, because I don't know what the fuck they be talking about with anime. But I'm looking at it from his standpoint. That's what I'm saying. I don't look at albums for it. Like, how is it looking? I think that's just the music critic in me, because I know how to decipher everything. And it's like, I can hear a great record, and I'd be like, okay, this has a lot of replay value. And that's how I look at music. I don't look at it like how it looks at me. I just look at it from just an observational point of, like, what are they saying? And, like, does it cohesively come together? Okay, it's a great album. Can I understand, what's the flow of these tracks? Okay, what are you saying in this song? What are you saying in this song? Like I said, the lyrical ability, the replay value, like the production, the songwriting, the vocal ability in every aspect, like how it's produced and all that stuff. That's what I take into a good album. That's what I'm factoring in. It's not necessarily how I'm feeling. Cause like I said, that Thundercat album, like I listened to it and I was like, I didn't understand half of the references he was saying because it was mostly anime, and I was like, I don't get to that, but it's like, oh, I get what he's saying. That's what he's talking about. So that's how I look at it. But those are my top albums.
That and just so everybody doesn't think I hate everything, because you know the listeners will say that. I'll give y'all four good projects that I really enjoyed, and I've actually gone back to play this year. When I think about the four of them, I guess the thing they have in common is that they're concept albums. That word is kicking my ass right now. Because like it may not necessarily have been written for me, but I got it. Like at first listen, it drew me in, and I got it. Omar Apollo's Apollonia, Mark Bird,
I'm still listening to that.
Ghetto, Shreya's Seven Deadly Sins, and my friend Nicola. Shout out to Nicola. Her 333. Those are the ones that I've listened to because I got it. Like, and I need to get it when I'm listening to an album. And if I don't get it, it doesn't mean the album isn't great or the song isn't great. It just means it's not one of the projects that's memorable for me. So if I'm asked, you know, what did you like the most this year? What made the biggest impact? I'm not going to remember any of those because they didn't. Now, I like the Toni Braxton song with her. I loved that song. And I listened to Toni's album two or three times, but it wasn't, you know, I can't, if you ask me the name of the song or the single or anything, I couldn't.
Yeah.
So it's like I don't have that for people. But I do have those four albums that I have had on repeat and I've listened to. And I think even listening to those, for people who really know me, you might be very confused about why I like those albums, because it doesn't seem to be the type of stuff that I like. But trust me, those are the ones that have made the biggest impact on me this year, just those four.
Those top three you said, I need to text you after the show and get that last one so I can listen to it. But the first three you said, I heard, but I'm going to text you after the show and get the name of that, the art you said, the 3-3-1. We'll do that after.
And they're mostly, it's their EP, so, you know.
Right.
It's short, but, you know, And that's another thing. Yeah. I miss long format albums. I miss long format songs. I like to sit in my grooves and, you know, we're not sitting in them no more, so.
Yeah, honestly, it's not necessarily, it's more musicians that I heard releasing albums. Like I said, during this pandemic, like all this happened at almost at the top of the year, like in March. So a lot of people ain't really been, like what Mark was alluding to in terms of people scared to drop it, you know, because of the promotionals and the lack of touring and stuff like that. I feel like that's a major part of it. But yeah. I think, it might be like a good solid five, because what I'm looking at some of the list of people, and I still haven't listened to Chloe and Holly's Ungodly Hour. I need to get into that. I'm still doing my reviews so I can post it on SoulSadness.com. But yeah, it's short, but I'd say the ones I named, those are the top best ones, and that's probably just going to be on my list. I might have a list of top 100 songs of 2020, because the albums, like I said, when you talk about solid R&B albums, like, it wasn't that many. And the ones that they list in as R&B is like, once again, every year, it's like, this is what y'all consider R&B, but that's a whole other conversation. But I'd say the ones that's solid to me, I feel like those are all replayable albums. I listen to it in the car, at home, all that stuff, and I've been in the car for hours, and I would listen to those albums, so I don't get tired of them. But we get to, it's been a lot that's happened in just entertainment news all year. And half the stuff that I was looking at for this show when I was doing, getting my notes, I was like, damn, that happened this year? Like with, what was it? The Netflix, it's something that happened. It was a stand-up comedy special. I think, Dave Chappelle, he had all those 15, 20 minutes. Yeah, that's the one I was talking about. It's a bunch of stuff that in the news, in terms of, what's a highlight story, like any entertainment story that you think that took the year?
But what, like, do you mean by a highlight story? You
like
mean anything that's happened?
Story. Yeah, yeah, anything that's happened.
I mean, the biggest things that's happened this year, honestly, especially as it pertains to music, are D-Nice and Club Quarantine and then Versus.
Yeah.
And how they have all become a thing. Like,
yeah,
that's the biggest. And those are even things that I really have enjoyed, but those are huge this year, and they kind of, began this shift that we're seeing now, in, like, not even just the music industry, but almost in every industry, where the world is going virtual and things are being done virtually. And I think they are great, 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 D-Nice and, Swiss and Tim to come up with these ideas. And none of this is, you know, new per se. Like, D-Nice has been doing Club Quarantine. It just happened to blow up while people were really quarantined.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you brand.
I was only the one, he only had 200 followers, and then it kept building, like,
yeah,
it was like,
yeah,
a celebrity that would,
like,
jump in every so often, and it was, yeah.
And I'll add to that, I guess it can be added, Pass the Mic with DJ Cassidy, again, something
yeah.
they've been doing, but it kind of hit different, and for me, that one hits way different, because I'm a person, you know, I go back and I give people their flowers. Like, that's my wheelhouse. But him doing it, and I love, love, love seeing the OGs out here still doing their thing, still looking good, still sounding good. And for him to, you know, not only appreciate it in the way he does, but bring awareness to the fact that there are entire generations of artists that are great and still doing their thing that people don't pay attention to. I think it makes the people appreciate it more too.
Yeah, I slowly started getting to Pass the Mic. I was like, oh, that's what's up. I was like, the best one to me was the New Edition one. And, I want to say SWV. I liked that one. And I liked, who else was on there? It's been a bunch of them, but I enjoyed it. But D-Nice, man, when he went viral, like the first one that went viral, I watched it like a couple nights before that, and it was popping. But when the one happened where all these celebrities kept jumping in, it was like, I felt like I was at a real party. I was like, who else gonna come in? It was like, it was like the Price is Right. Who else is coming down the line? Who else?
goddamn BBD, he had everybody in there. Holly Berry, Mariah Carey, and almost every celebrity was in that.
He had politicians in there, and I think that's like a conversation about black music and how black music really kind of saved this whole pandemic that we're in. I mean, not saved it because we're still in it, but kind of there was a shift in the culture, and black music was at every single aspect of that. Is like, okay, you know, you got D Nice just spinning classic R&B, but you got all of these politicians and people from these huge corporations and companies in there. And a lot of it, yeah, it was, you know, there was some pandering done, and there was people in there, you know, just trying to, you know, see who's in there and whatever. But a lot of that was like, it was unifying in a way, because just like you said, like being at home and seeing like who else is going to pop in, it's kind of like, oh, they home just like me. We all doing the same thing. We listening to the same music. We love the same songs. Like, we're all human on that level. So I think black music is really like the highlight of the year.
And his skill level, like, you got to understand, for him to keep that going, like, because you got to keep the energy going. You got to know what record, the right record to play at the right time, and he's playing all black music. That's what I appreciated about it most, because it wasn't just the hit records. He's playing, you know, the cuts, like, the, you know, most people wouldn't, because even Shaka, you know, started, you know, when she had her virtual concert, she's throwing in those records that he was playing that, no, she was like, really? People like this? It's like, yeah, we love those songs. And she played, you know, played Clouds in there. Like, he's playing the real album cuts that nobody really get to, you know. And it's like, that's what I appreciated about it. It's not just, you know, the popular, like, because he would throw in some new music. Some of his sets, he would, like, if somebody was promoting an album or a single, he would play it. But he always did it, like, authentically. It wasn't just, like, a whack record, you know. But that's what I appreciated about it.
And there's also
going.
There's also the whole thing about like archiving the footage, because like as somebody who goes back, and you can look back through like the 1940s through the 1990s, and you can find some performances by some of your favorite people, but you won't find performances about from like little known people or people who weren't A-list, because they just don't exist. So I think everything going virtual kind of has improved the chances that in 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years from now, you'll be able to go back and see Fantasia, you know, or see the Clark sisters performing, or see Ledisi performing, you know. And it's, for me, as somebody who like appreciates the history of music, it's a beautiful thing, because I don't think that people realize how hard it is when, like, I'm a huge Emotions fan, or the Jones Girls, you know how hard it is to find quality concert footage of these people in their primes. Like, we don't have that. So I am glad that future generations will have that from this time forward. I assume they'll be able to go back and search anybody's name on like a YouTube or something, and there'll be a whole concert or two or three, or even somebody like Shaka explaining, you know, or explaining the meaning behind some of her songs, or just playing the songs. These are things that are now archived.
Hey, but are you ever concerned, though, that the fact that this stuff is all so easily available on YouTube lessens the value of live music? Because you have artist after artist talking about, hey, like, you know, thank you for coming to the show, but please put your phone away, because if you put it on YouTube, there's no reason for people to come keep playing tickets.
I can only speak for me, but for me, I'm a person who, like, the reason why I have not been able to really get into the Versus or Club Quarantine or anybody's virtual concert, like, I haven't watched them, is because I'm a person that actually the experience of live music for me is transcendent, and there's no replacement. So even that being on YouTube, like, I'm not gonna pass that up to, you know, sit at home and watch somebody on YouTube when they're actually having a concert. But I understand it's not the same for everybody, and that's actually a good point. I didn't think about it. Like, maybe it will lessen the value for a lot of people. For me, no. I'm like, as soon as it's saved, I'm running to every concert that I can.
See, that's where we differ, because I was like, and these DVDs, I've been buying all kind of DVD concerts, like, this year, because that was saving me, because I was like, I'm so deprived. I just want to be in a room full of drunk aunties and uncles so bad. Like, that was, like, always, I always had my go-to shows. Shaka,
The Isley Brothers, Frankie Beverly and Maze, Michael McDonald, Bob Skaggs, those are my, the Whispers, those are my go-to concerts every year. Cause they stop, either if I'm in Chicago or Dallas or Phoenix, I always stop at those shows. Especially I go like 2 or 3 times in Dallas, cause Dallas, they are known, especially at the Grand Prairie Theater and the American Airlines Center, like they're known, like they have the best shows ever. And they always, those R&B acts, they always stop at the Verizon Theater in Dallas, and it's always a good time. You get Kim, you get Toni Braxton comes through there, Eric Benet, all of them. And those are always my go-to shows. So I would, like, trick my mind and feel like I'm in the experience. I would just turn the music up real loud, get I got some really big speakers at my house, so it feels like I'm at a concert because I turn, like, the speakers all the way to fuck up. I don't care. Fuck it. My neighbors is cool. Like, they don't care. Like, they be jamming too. But, yeah, I just turned them shit all the way up and pretend I was at a live show. That's how I spent my birthday. And also, shout out to, thank you so much, Mark, for that Chaka Khan concert DVD. Because I was playing the shit out of that on my birthday. So, thank you.
Look, I would go see Chaka every year because she was always at the county fair, like multiple like places. And I'm like, look, I don't know why everybody doesn't know about this, but like, let me get up to like the front row and see her tossing her big wig back and forth. Like, I need that in my life. I do.
You were at the Hollywood. I can't believe I missed you at the Hollywood Bowl last year. I went there because I went to the show. She did it in Irving, Texas. Her and Michael McDonald were on tour, and I was like, I was going to be in L.A. for a few days. I was like, you know what? I'm going to extend this out because it's my birthday coming up. I'm going to go. It happened on my birthday. And I was like, it got to happen. And whenever you tweeted, I saw your tweet, I think it was either the next slide because I was I was off at 420 and I was having a whole other experience. I was on the whole other drone. I was on the soul drone. So I think I saw it the next day. I was like, you were like the concert, the Chaka. I was like, you were there. You were like, yeah. I was like, man, it was about the third or fourth time I'd have missed you on the Black Ass Weekend trip and then the Chaka concert. I was like, man.
Hey,
but yeah, her show was a good time.
Where were the black people at that concert? Because I didn't realize, I don't feel like anybody came there to see Chaka. Like, these people look like, I love Chaka Khan. Like, if you hear the CH, the RCH, you know they're not the real ones. So.
Yes, listen, they be mad. They was there for Michael McDonald, okay? They want to hear the Doobie Brothers tunes. They want to hear the whole catalog of Michael McDonald. So they might have bought up all the tickets, but you was right. They was, and I was drinking with all them white people too. We was down. We was at the garden. That motherfuckers be drinking. White people be drinking, man, at concerts. Listen, it's two people you need to be by. Drunk, Caucasian folks and drunk auntie, black aunties and uncles that show. They will hook you up, okay?
It's always a good time. After that, but yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good time, man. I love it. And they be off beat. They was definitely, when Chaka was playing, I was like, man, I need them to be, because she was playing all the cuts. And I'm like, I need y'all to be on the 2 and the 4. I need y'all to get off the 1 and 3.
Yeah, you heard the 1 and 3?
Yes, it was, I was like, but I was rocking with it though, because I was lit. So yeah, I didn't mind. But I was like, man, y'all need to get on beat just a little bit. Just a little bit, get on beat. And then, yeah. I missed it so much. I was like, I am deprived. And then, I got some Midnight Soul DVDs. It's like the live, recording of a show or whatever. It's like, I got a whole box set. It's like 200 performances. And I just sit and watch that whole thing. And I was just having a good time. And then I got a bonus DVD set where it had the Whispers, The Manhattan, it has everybody on there, and they got on their glittery suits, fresh out of 76, and you got the Jerry Curls popping juice, trickling down, and sweating, and they playing their whole classic set. It's like about 10 to 12 songs. Some of them got 20 songs. It was just a good time, and I'm like, these are saving me in 2020, because I've been going outside the concert so bad.
If you don't get to go to another concert in your life, who will you be most sad that you didn't see live, that is still living right now?
Say it again. Say it one more time so I can understand you.
If you never get to see another concert, who would you be so mad that you didn't see yet? Because I have never seen Kelly Price or Jasmine Sullivan, and I want this
really?
In life. I've never seen Earth, Wind, and Fire live, and I need that.
Wow. You need to see them. I haven't seen Jasmine Sullivan yet, but you pick a good three. Because I know Kelly Price be singing like the Bills do every show. So you could count on, that. Because she be singing like she still sing A and B selections on, You Sunday. She be singing that hard when she be,
yep.
she be performing. So, but, Earth, Wind, and Fire, a good time. Phillip Bailey, that voice is still, you know, on point. So you, and then Mari, and, Bernice, listen. His hair smells good. I just want to say that. His hair smells really good. I've seen him back.
I'm done. All right, thank y'all for tuning in to Toast Up.
But it smells so good.
Describe the smell.
It smells like it cascades. Like, his hair is just, it's phenomenal. And he is, it just smells good. And he smells really good. I just want to say that. Shout out to Mr. Birdie White. I'm just saying, he smells really good. But that's
wow.
a whole subject. But they're great. They're fantastic. Just to answer your question, I can't even. You know, I'm gonna let y'all go because I got to think about mine. Because you just hit me with a doozy. I'm trying to think of who I haven't saw yet that I would be mad if I didn't see. Let me see. Y'all or Whitney, whoever wants to go. Julie, whoever wants to go.
I would say John Legend. I haven't seen him.
Oh, he's good.
He's somebody I would like to see.
I haven't seen him in a while. It's been some years.
I don't know if he's
I can't remember.
Here now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Well,
I respect.
That's good. Evie, what's yours, or Julie?
It's been 20 years that I've been working in live concerts, promotions, and radio. So everybody that I've ever wanted to see, I've seen. And there's I can't think of anybody who is living that
that
I would regret.
How about this then for you, Eric, since you've seen so many concerts, who do you wish you didn't go see?
Okay.
I know you got an answer for that.
Who do I wish that I did not go see? All right, I'm going to let Julie go. Let me think about that, though. I got to think about that.
I know. I've been to so many shows. I'm trying to think of somebody that I haven't seen. I haven't seen a lot of people. I can't think. I've been to a lot of shows. I can't keep them straight.
I was going to say, I can always see Mary again. Like, that's
oh,
like,
yeah. It's a good time every time. The crowd be so into it, man.
It's like,
they are so fun.
It's like a church experience when the Holy Ghost take over the church. It's like.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you feel it. So, and it's because she's singing from, like, her gut. Like, the whole expression of her performance is. The whole thing. So, like, I can always see Mary repeatedly. I think I would enjoy seeing Babyface just because of his catalog. But he would have to really dig into his catalog, kind of like he did.
Listen, girl, he going to give you the whole thing. He'll go from After 7 to Tevin Campbell. He'll have like a 15-minute part of his show to where he'll just do a whole medley of all his hits. It's like 20 hits he'll go through.
But
I go to Boys to Men, all that shit.
Right. I
it's
need
crazy.
Him to go, like, early 80s. Like, I need it all. I need Jerry.
Oh, Robinson. You want
like, that? Like,
he'll go slow down. He'll do Midnight Star slow down. He'll do that one.
And lastly, Elder Barge. I can never have enough of
Elder Barge.
Even with the little crack list thing he got going.
Don't do my guy like that.
I love him. I mean, I'm a true fan, but I'm
Julie, really?
The purity of it, man. Let me clean it up. The purity
of it, please.
I can feel like that. Those three for me, you know what I'm saying? Eldra, Mary, and Kenny, Babyface Edmonds, like, yeah. All day.
It's just how you put it in there. It's like, yes, it's the Graham coke for me. It's the cocaine for me that I need to shout that. I need to hear the Graham in his vocal cords.
It's the nose candy for me. But look, real quick, someone put up on Twitter, and I commented on this. They put up Tony against Mary, and that was my question for y'all tonight. There was a versus battle. Tony versus Mary. Y'all already know how I feel. I don't think Tony don't.
He's gonna be Mary all day. I love Tony. Tony's
not
top all time, but yeah, Mary got that.
Mary has the most consistent album. I'm saying this now. The only one album that I don't rock with is London Bridge, but every album after that is great. She don't have a bad album to me, Mary J. Blige. I think she's probably the most mainstream artist that came from the R&B world that has, like, true R&B roots, that has solid albums. And it's a lot of people that argue about that, like, her best albums on Twitter, post-2000, like, not the 90s joints, but the 2000 record. I love all those albums. Growing Pain, all those are great albums to me. So she wins. Tony's, the album that Rodney Jerkins and LaShawn and all them produced, that was her last, like, 2002, I think the album came out. Anything after 2002 is shaky, because she didn't start getting good until she did that album with Babyface. And then, yeah, it's kind of sketchy, but Mary's, you know, catalog is solid to me. She didn't have a hit off almost every year. She's had a hit in almost every decade after the 90s, going to 2000s, the mid-2000s. Late 2000s, going to 2010s, and right now, like, her last album, that's solid. Like, you can't, that's undebatable to me that Mary has the solid catalog, so she would win, hands down. That's not even if you really look at the catalog, it's way better than Tony's, just from an honest, perspective. It kills her albums kill Tony's off bat.
Okay, so you're probably absolutely right, but I think it's kind of an odd pairing for Verses, because Verses is like,
well, they're from the same era. Not, well, I mean, she came out in 90s. It's the era.
One came out in 92, and both came out technically in 92, but it doesn't make sense to me. That's a pairing that just doesn't, like, I don't get the Mary. Like, that's just two different levels. They make their music, although there are similar elements, they make two totally different types of music.
And if you want to, well, no, it ain't even about, it's about, like, who came out around the same, because they keep it on, like, who was, like, around at the same era. And it's not that big of a difference, because they were both there. I'm like, I think it's a fair, if you would pick somebody, two female R&B singers out of the 90s, you would have to pick those two. I don't see anybody else that would match each other's catalog besides those two. You could add in Mariah Carey, but Mariah Carey is on a whole different catalog.
Again, and all three of them came out the same era.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. They were different.
Yeah, they're just very different for me. It don't make
I mean,
sense.
They're all different, but that's not the point of the Verses. The Verses is to see, like, you go through the whole catalog, and that's what it is. I don't think it's about, like, it's just who was hot at the time. I mean, who were each other's what's that word? Not competitors, but they were both there at the same time. So that's what the point of it is. It ain't necessarily contemporary, that's what I meant to say. They were, it's not about, like, in terms of, like, going up the style, because that's clear to me with Monica and Brandy, like, they clearly don't have the same style, but it's about who was out at the same time. That's the point of the first
thing.
It's not about the same style. It
still makes sense.
Play the same music. Cause none
Monica and Brandy make sense.
Tony,
like,
Mary.
Just like the Keisha Cole and Ashanti thing, it didn't make sense to me. It still doesn't. And that's how I look at the Mary and Tony thing. It's like, yeah, but no, like, it just don't make sense for me. But I get why people could say that. But I don't see it happening.
So who
becomes happen? Mary already said she's not doing one. That's not her thing. She said she's not doing it.
Is there anyone who's asking for Mary?
If Mary ever decided to do it, in all honesty, the only person that she could really do it with is Mariah. For me, that just makes more sense than anybody else. But I think Mariah is the only person that I can think of for me.
Well, the people that don't have competition are the people who need to do it the least. Like, Missy doesn't want anything to do with it. Janet doesn't. Mariah does. I don't think Mariah does. It's just, like, why bother? I think the people who need to be put on are like, yeah, you know, we need to, like, put our legends on. I love that they had Patty and Gladys. Yeah, run their streams up.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to you know, have all these musical moments that people are celebrating, but a lot of it, sometimes I'm like, that don't make sense to me. Like, it don't quite roll over just right, but
The Keisha and Shanti one made sense to me because they were it made sense because they were both out at the same time.
Even the time period are two, for me, they're two different time periods because.
Ashanti's run was in 2000,
yeah,
but Keisha's album came out like 05, 06. That's not that far apart.
There's an album. It depends on where you were in life because for me, in 2002, I guess I was like freshman, sophomore in high school when Ashanti dropped. So it was a different thing when Keisha dropped, and now I'm a senior in high school, freshman in college. It's like they're worlds apart to me. It didn't make sense.
I didn't think of it because I was around that same age too. It did. I think it was just that's when we really paid attention to albums and stuff like that. It's completely different now. Clearly, you with the kids and how they get new music and all that stuff. How we got new music, it was still early 2000s. It was still the same way. We all pretty much got the same music the same way, but. I just thought it was like, okay, that made sense for Ashanti and Keisha Cole, because to me, all those years blend together to me, because I remember Ashanti's record, she still had albums coming, I mean, she still had singles coming out whenever Keisha Cole came, and she was still in her prime whenever Keisha came out with her album, so it made sense to me. It's just like with John Legend and Alicia Keys, they both, like, even though Alicia came with her album first in, like, 2001, he came out. Like, they were both still, like, Alicia was still making her number one, I mean, she was still making her records, she was still in her prime, so that makes sense. Like I said, it's not, I don't think they're trying to find, like, oh, y'all both came out at the same time, the same year. It's not, it's just who was in that same time period, and they were. Like, that's why it makes sense. I'm like, it makes complete sense to me.
It also seems like it would be you make similar music. None of those people make similar music to me.
No, that it's not about that. It's about who came out around the same time and
Well, I mean, that's a technicality.
It's not about who made the same music.
Right.
I think it's really more about the things that go together better because, I mean, it's all junk food, but, like, some things are salt and caramel. All those go together really good, but, like, other things are, like, potato chips and bubblegum.
Right.
They don't really go together. Like, yeah, they're in the same group, but do we want them together? No, not really.
No.
And, like, honestly, I want them to stop putting Brandy and Monica together. Like, they don't go together. Like, you just remember them from the same time.
I just think it's that whole beef thing is, like, the whole stan culture thing. They didn't get real shit. I didn't realize how people felt about it until I looked on Twitter, and they were, like, having full-on debates about it. I was like, that's deep. But they're coming from the whole fan perspective. So I was like, but the only thing I was ready for the last for that verse. I think they changed the date on that, Ashanti and Keisha Cole one, but I was ready for the last. But yeah, I'm just gonna look at it. That one, I'm just gonna be like, oh yeah, I remember that song. And it's just mostly me looking at the comment section laughing, cause I feel like the memes is gonna be crazy on that one. But before we go, I just wanted to play this game with Mark real quick. It's called the What's Wrong With You game. And
uh-oh.
I'm going to explain the rules so nobody is you're not confused because they're going to jump in and say it's rigged, it's not rigged. But just to give the full details of the game, you basically pick in the artist who you play more on your playlist, and the artist that you play on, you can factor in the production they've either produced or the songs they've written. That's a factor in as well. So all goes into, like, who you play in your playlist. Some of these are songwriters and producers, so that's a part of the thing as well with your selection. And so, yes, either or. I make up the rules as I go, so I don't know how this is going to go. I feel like me and you sometimes speak the same language when we're talking on Twitter, but I don't know. I feel like I know a couple of these, but I'm not going to get too excited because I don't want to get my energy too wrapped up because I feel like you're going to might answer the wrong way. But either way, we're going to start it off. We're going to start off with Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass.
Marvin Gaye.
Talking right. The next one is the OJs or the Whispers.
Oh, actually, okay, it's the Whispers.
You talking right. Yes, sir.
I'm just saying.
Talking right on it. You talk it right. The next
I wish I could
Rick
see.
You said you want to see
Rick James
who?
Who?
finish what you about to say before I go. What were you about to say?
I want to see EB's face because they're.
I agree. I mean, it could be either or with that one. OJ's or Whisper's, like, it could be either or.
Yes. But the next one, Rick James and Prince.
Oh, Prince. I'm sorry.
You talking right. Okay, those were the easy ones. Like I said, you got bonuses. Those were, like, bonus ones. So either way you would have went with that, you would have got it right. Because I love all those. So whichever way you lean towards, you would have been talking right. But this is a party game where this is the roller coaster ride. I take you up, and then you about to go right down on this one, depending on how you answer, because you got to get all these right, or you get a withdrawal. pressure. Just.
No, I'm good. We cool. We good.
Okay. This is Michael Jackson specific. Off the Wall or Thriller?
Off the Wall.
You're talking right. Okay. The next one is Patty or Aretha.
Oh, what you doing? What you doing, though?
Go ahead, though.
All right. I'm going to say this and duck, but Patty.
You fucking, listen. You fucking goddamn right, man. Okay.
What?
All right. I'm not going to get too
high. They're going to chase us both down. Okay. All
right. Okay. You acing it right now, man. I'm with you. Okay. The next one is Brian McKnight or Babyface.
Whoever the other one is.
Brian McKnight or Babyface?
He said, before he even heard Babyface, he said, whoever the other one is.
That's freaking hilarious. I know, right? That guy right there. You talking all the way right. So,
Babyface, you know,
without hearing his name?
I don't know, like, what it is. Like, I just, something about him rubs me wrong, and I actually almost ran him over with my car one day.
You're not the only one. Listen, it's people that I know so many. I got so many industry friends that say so much. I don't talk about it, but yeah, he got a bad rep out here, man. And it's a lot of people
talk about him. Story about almost running him over.
Get to that. Yeah.
It's simple.
What city were you in?
I actually was in the Valley. I live in the Valley. So, like, again,
you're
running people here, like, around the corner. Like, I ran into T-Boz at Best Buy, like, at Christmas one time. But I was on the way to the gym.
She give you a receipt? Because if she didn't give you a receipt, you know you can go to the manager and complain.
Wow.
Are you in the Valley?
Okay, what you really should be mad about is, like, I saw her, and I'm like, wow, I recognize her. I think she might be some lady from my church. Yeah, I looked at my kiss T-Boz, but she had grown women.
I told you.
Oh, yeah, he's not
motherfucking.
You thought T.I. was in the senior choir, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, the other thing is, like, you know, he was on the phone. Like, she was talking to her kids about something. She was mad. And I'm like, oh, she looked like she don't have the time. She definitely looks like somebody from my church. I'm like, oh no, that's definitely T-Boz. Okay. But no, like, I was on the way to the gym, and, like, I was in a hurry.
Shit.
And, like, I almost didn't see somebody crossing crossing in front of me. And so, like, I jammed on the brakes real quick. And I look up, I'm like, oh, that's Brian McKnight. I'm glad I hit the brakes, but if I didn't, I'm just
So he went by and didn't look? He didn't look before he crossed there? What did he do? How did that explain to me what his body language was? What was he doing whenever you
passed on the brakes?
Did he look both ways?
And he didn't see much. That's probably
Christ.
What happened.
Okay, the sad thing is, that was really one of his best songs, but people were mad. I'm like, listen. I mean, lyrically, like, if it was...
Listen. If anybody else had sang that, they would have thought it was a hit.
I'm just saying. Like, that was one of the most likely...
Chris Brown would have won triple platinum if he did that back then.
Somebody going to cover it and make it a hit. Watch.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. You was gonna say
you double tapped your brakes on. Did he acknowledge that he almost got hit? What was the aftermath of that?
I think it might have been like an exchange of looks, like side eyes. But I'm just kind of like, you know, I thought.
Oh, he side eyed you. He didn't even put his hand up. And was like, oh my bad, man. I didn't mean to come out. He was like that.
No, he was walking like he had a nice life insurance policy. I'm like, okay, well, go ahead with the confidence.
Wow.
He's cool.
Oh, so he one of the ones that don't even look. See, I don't like them people in traffic. I need you to make eye contact with me because I need you to know that my brakes ain't 100% in the hood. I might tap you. See, we different. I'm gonna roll up on you. If I see you not paying attention to me going, you ain't just got the pedestrian right to just walk out in front of me like I'm not there. You gonna acknowledge. You either put a hand up and make eye contact with me or keep going. You're not gonna keep going and not make eye. So did he make eye contact with
me? I mean, maybe he wasn't raised right. I don't know.
Alright. See, that's indicative of his, see there? I didn't heard too many stories for it to be true. That's why I never wanted to reach out to his team to want to interview. I'm going to say this publicly. I never want to interview Brian McKnight, ever. I don't like his music like that to really go into I get that he has a legacy of music, but I don't care to talk about it with him. That's just my personal point. That's one celebrity that I don't want to interview ever in life.
Yeah, I was at a Take Six concert, and he was there supporting his brother, of course. But, like, I wasn't really, like, acknowledging him, like, as a fan or anything. Like, I know who he is, like, and he's mad talented, but I'm, like, I'm not, like, a fan or whatever. But, like, I saw him, and I kind of acknowledged that I saw him, but I didn't say anything. He just kind of looked at me like, okay, you don't really exist. I'm like, bruh, you don't exist. All right, well, fine then. Maybe I should have hit him. Let them break the dough.
Listen. Hey, man, I think that's indicative of people's character, though. If you don't do the polite, like, hey, sorry about that. If you don't do that, I feel like you trash as a human being because you should always give that courtesy. Hey, I see you. My bad. Like, I'm still going to walk, though. You're not just going to walk and not. That's just my thing. I'm just a road rager for sure. And so I need to talk about that in therapy because I be cussing people out while I'm listening.
But, you know, work it through. Hard you know, staff, day by so. Day.
Yeah, I cuss people out while I'm playing canned spirituals. Like, it's a whole quartet group. I'm listening to gospel music, and I'll cuss somebody out like it ain't nothing. Like, you mother... That's it. I hope
Jesus
you break
will forgive you, though.
That's my go-to.
I mean, he has said.
Yeah. Listen, don't have me... Listen, it's a whole thing. Listen, I hope he forgive me, because I didn't cuss everybody's grandpa and grandma out, and your aunties, your uncles... Especially if you look like a Trump supporter, I'm definitely cussing you out from my car. Absolutely.
They probably deserved it. It's fine.
Yeah. But the last one, so you picked Babyface. You're talking right. Okay, the next, this is a bonus. Mary J. Blige or Faith Evans?
What's the question again?
who are you picking, Faith Evans or Mary J. Blige?
So listen, about that, it's going to be Mary, even though I know, like, Faith is the real deal. But, yeah, like, I got way
listen,
more
what's
Mary.
What debut ever. Album are you going with? You going with Faith's debut or Mary's?
Oh, that's different, though. Ah, wow.
Which one you going with?
All right, see, this is why I don't like you, all right? It would be Faith for the whole album, because Faith's album was one of those where you could just, like, play it, and there's no song you want to skip. But, like, Real Love was so hard, like, I feel like that song is worth, like, everything on What's the 411. I don't feel like What's the 411 was that great an overall album. It was just, like, there were so many high points on there, the low points didn't matter.
Right, exactly. Well,
so, yeah, I would say... Oh, sophomore album?
Yeah.
Mary...
There you go. See, you answer right. I needed to hear the first. Okay, the debut, Faith, and then sophomore, Mary. You got it, 100%. You talking always. Listen, okay, I usually give negative. That's a bonus, so sometimes that one don't matter. Like I said, I make up the rules as I go, but that, since you answered right on the two, I need you to answer. You're not, I was going to take off negative 17 points because you said Mary at first and you're supposed to say Faith all through, but I can take a 2 out of 3. That's a perfect score of me. I have concluded what's wrong with you. I have concluded and the what's wrong with you game, and I have found out that there's nothing wrong with Mr. Mark Chappelle. You won the game, man. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You
hey,
won
can
the
I
game.
Get a certificate? Because I feel like some people are going to want
receipts. Listen, I will.
I need that.
I will send you $3.99 so you can go to the store and get you a Red Bull or something. I put something on
Jesus.
Your drink. Go to the store. Get
that's no work. You know, I'm just trying to get some free shit. Anyway.
We're going to wrap up the show, but I want to get our guests to just talk about
what, just enlighten us on how they're, or if, what's your takes from 2020, how we end this year, or whatever it is that you had going on, either creatively or just whatever you want to talk about, like real quick, in terms of 2020 and what you look forward to going into the new year. But whoever wants to go first, Julie or Mark, you go.
Ladies first.
Go ahead, Mark. Because I'm moving. I'm cleaning up. Go ahead, Mark.
2020. I feel like there are some things in life that we should just agree to never speak of again. You know, there were some cool things that happened in this year, but by and large, I'm going to be counting like 2017, 2018, 2019, 2021. We just not going to talk about none of this when we're done.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to keep a good attitude, though, like moving forward.
Yeah.
Look for the future.
That's good. Go ahead, Julie.
I was just going to say, like, I kind of want to have that same attitude, but several good things have come out of this year. I was pushed beyond my comfort zone, and it has proven to be very beneficial to me, and I have to come back and talk about that later. But it's been good. It's been a year where I've been able to get myself together financially. You know, when crisis is happening all around, I still had a job. And my credit score up, my skin clear, you know, I mind my business and hydrate.
Hey,
So I feel you, 17, 18, 19, but 20 has been a special year. Like I said, I've gone beyond my comfort zone in some areas. I try online dating. That's what I'm talking about. When something good, you can't help but tell it. So. Real quick, let me get some hope to the lovers, the hopeless romantics of the world. I was pushed to try it, and I didn't want to, but as soon as I opened the app, you know, I'm going through it. I'm like, this is so stupid. Then I saw this guy, and I was like, hold up, wait. I took a screenshot, and I sent it to one of my sorors because he was wearing this sweatshirt. And I was like, do you know him? It was the same university she had gone to. She said his name. She's like, she told me where he was from. And I was like, why is he showing up? It was on Bumble. I'm like, I'm in Houston. But for some reason, it showed up. It wasn't that he was in the area. And so I reached out to a friend of mine that I went to high school with that's into athletics in Mississippi. And he knew him. And connected us, and that has been the greatest friendship that I formed this year. Like, this man is so amazing. We're so much alike. He's goofy like me. He's brilliant like me. He's sexy like me. I ain't knocking 2020, because had it not been 2020, I would have just continued to be my busy self. And I started the year off using that quote from the photograph. I know it seems like the photograph was 10 years ago, but it actually did come out this year. Way back in February. But it, the quote is, I wish I would have made room for love like I did for my work, or something like that. And 2020 forced me to make room for all the areas in my life that, you know, I wanted to happen, but that hadn't quite happened. Because of my work, whether it's my professional work or my community work, but I made room for love, and I just said that out loud. But I wasn't expecting that.
Wow.
And very appreciative of the man that he is and the friend that he is, and I'm really looking forward to growing with him and learning more about him, whether it's for forever or if it's for just because he's really good people. So I ain't knocking 2020. 2020 did something for me, and I'm very happy about it. And that's my first time talking about it out loud, so I'm just shut up.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's the best thing. That's one of the best things I've heard this year. Like, no cap, for real. Like, that's beautiful. I'm very happy for you. Like, that's, wow. That's not how I thought that was going to go, but wow, like, that's very inspiring.
Yeah,
Y'all, E.B., Whitney, y'all can go.
For me, I would say the best thing, trying to follow up after what Julie said, but the two things that have come out of this year for me, one, just being my second year in education, both years have been crazy. The first year, you know, starts with the pandemic, and then here we are. I am going into the second year, and it's still going, and I've just really realized that I can really stretch my mind, like, in so many different ways. Like, there's so many ways I wasn't really tapping in, like, to myself, and this year has forced me to do that in multiple areas. So I can say I've grown a lot. It hasn't been the most pleasant experience, but growth nonetheless. And then the other thing, just being really understanding self-care this year, I was fortunate to have quite a bit of time off into myself because of my profession, and that was really good for me to just be able to, like, kind of sit and be with myself, like, to kind of clear some of the junk out of my head, some of the clutter, and get focused on what it is that I'm trying to do and goals that I want to obtain. So from that aspect, like, those are the two things. When I look back, that's what I'm going to choose to remember. Everything else is everything else, of course, that's happened this year, but those are the two that I want to focus on to keep myself going forward.
That's some good stuff. I feel like mine's going to be something like, I learned how to fry good chicken. I think for me, setting boundaries, walking away from things that don't serve a purpose in my life, and not worrying about how others will feel or interpret any of my actions have been things that I've focused on this year. And not that I've succeeded 100% at all of that, but I am on the way, doing a serious inventory on the relationships in my life and where I stand in each of them, how they could improve, and if they need to just die. And then I stepped out and on, like, pure faith and finally released this podcast, and that was, like, a mm-hmm. thing that I've been working on for a long time. But especially this year, and, you know, the pandemic actually helped in a way because it gave me the time to actually focus on a lot of projects that I have not wanted to do because of fear or going back to the worrying about other people will feel or interpret it, that type of thing. So just growing as a person, stepping out on faith and making shit happen, grabbing life by the balls.
Love that. That's the cherry on top. That is it.
Yes. Look,
he presented it nicely.
Grabbing by the balls, y'all.
Yes,
he did.
Before we go, man, I think I just say for me, This whole year's been, I think the top of the year was pretty wild before the pandemic started. I broke my hand actually earlier this year, and it was like, it put me in a whole different headspace, and it was just a bunch of stuff going on, and then the pandemic happened, and then it was like, it affected my majority of my income like extremely, because I'm a full-time musician, and so it's like, that's our bread and butter, just touring, and that was like, oh, we're not doing that this year, okay, let me see what else I can focus on. And then it was like, oh, and then it's like, you know, you look at the ones that, you know, on YouTube and the younger musicians, I've gotten actually consulting and advice from those that are doing that, because I was like, it actually made room for me to do that, because I always been saying I was going to, like, release cover videos and release it on social media and on YouTube, but I've always, like, been on the road, so I never have time to, I never focus my energy to do it, and it's like, it kind of, this pandemic forced me to be like, okay, let's get to the creative side of what you want to do, and the other stuff you have going on, the other projects that I have coming up, they're, like, really big, and it's forcing me, this pandemic forcing me to be uncomfortable in terms of the creative process, and things that I've been wanting to do for the past 2 years, they're fixing to come to fruition. But again, whenever you do something, you step out on the limb and do stuff, it's like, it's very uncomfortable. And so I'm about to get in spaces in the next few months that's very uncomfortable, but I'm trying to settle my mind to do it. So I'm not waiting till 2021 to do what I want. I'm just going to do it now, and I'm in the process of doing it now, and I'm trying to learn as much as I can. I'm still, like, trying to figure out how to edit videos and all, because I'm not, that's not my wheelhouse. And so I'm learning stuff that I never learned before. I've had to edit my own, the shows. I'm getting ready to upload, like, all of them. Every show from this year is going to be posted on soulsavage.com. And I've had, like, 14, like I said, 14 people I've had on for the past 6 years. And when this pandemic happened, I've only down to, like, 3. But I'm starting to rebuild my team, and they're helping me and all that stuff. So we're about to revamp the website, and I'm trying to get into some new areas of this video technology stuff, because I feel like that's going to be the thing. I feel like we're going to be locked up some more, so I'm trying to learn it as best I can so I can give people quality that tune into the show. But thank y'all for tuning in. It's going to be the anniversary of this show, December 23rd, next week. So we've been on air. Me and Will, we started December 23rd, wow. 2016. So it's going to be the fourth anniversary of Soul Savage Radio. Yeah, 4 years, man. It's crazy.
It's amazing.
I remember it like it was yesterday. It felt like it was like a year ago instead of 4 years. But, yeah, I didn't know what to expect with this show. It was just insane. It was, like I said, this show was supposed to be clean radio, and I didn't got in and muddied the waters. But
I don't know how. I don't know how we put up with each other for 4 years.
It's insane.
Oh,
it's
crazy.
It's insane. I feel like, I think we've all, like, I feel like I know all three of y'all now. That's what's so insane. I feel like I know y'all all have different personalities, and I feel like I know y'all. Like, it's still stuff we don't know about each other because we're not in our daily lives, but just on the show, I think people feel it. They write in, and they like, are y'all really this cool? Off the, like, me and Whitney are, like, related, so.
Right.
We've been
right.
cool. Like, we've known each other since we were kids, so.
You know.
We connected through Twitter, and then Will, we connected through the internet as well, so it's just been a fun time, but.
You know.
Just to wrap up. Oh, go ahead, Will.
No, you know, quiet is the kept. I like all of you guys. I mean, seriously.
I love y'all, man.
Hey, man, it is
y'all
really,
know.
Really cool, you know.
Yeah,
and
y'all
also,
know.
I want to thank Julie. And also, Mark, hey, I enjoyed the show. I heard all of it. You guys are funny. And
man.
Wow.
And before we go real quick, I just got to throw this in there and give appreciation to all the actors and the musical legends that we lost this year. We lost Bill Withers this year. We lost Betty Wright, actress Carol Sutton, Ellis Marcellus, McCoy, Tyner, Natalie Reed, actress, Tommy Lister, Esther Scott, Thomas Jefferson Byrd. You know, those are just really great, phenomenal, black talents that, you know, I feel like they've been appreciated, but I think we just need to keep lifting our legends up and just putting in the work, even when they do pass away, just keep talking about their legacy, and that's the natural part of life is, you know, departing, but we still can lift up these legends and talk about how great their legacies is, and individually, and just shout out to all the families of those that departed this year through COVID and all those things. And then just a real quick, I think this show, all the shows going to be uploaded on studiowbuzz.com. So y'all go in there, y'all comment and share it and like it and retweet it. Like I said, I got stuff coming up on Soul Savviness. I'm gonna do the best albums of from 20 years ago, the top 2,000 albums. I've got albums you should love for the past 3 years, and then I got my best albums of 2020. It may not be that long, but I'm gonna have a playlist of all the best singles and best album cuts of 2020 that I like. And I'm gonna post it on SoulSavviness.com. Make sure y'all keep sharing and liking the show and keep writing us. We'll be back next. This is our last show of 2020, so we'll be back on the top of the year, January 7th, 2021. So make sure y'all look out for that show and follow us on social media. To our guest, Mark and Julie, thank y'all so much for coming on. Real quick, Julie, plug your social media where they can find you, and Mark, you can go right after her and tell her where they can find you on social media.
Where's Julie?
She might still be working.
I'm here. I'm here. I'm sorry. We were talking. We finally got everybody out of the building. Here all day rapping. What's up? I'm sorry. My apologies.
Where can they find you?
social media. But tell the listeners where they can find you on social media.
What is Julie doing?
Follow me on social media. Julie is
working.
420 experience like I am.
Oh, Lord, Julie. Multitask.
No, let me not put that out there because she's a professional. Let me not put that out there.
Yeah.
I'm just joking.
Okay.
That's a joke. Go ahead.
That was a joke.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to mess up the paper. Go ahead.
You can follow me here on Clubhouse. I'm a Southern Jewel, J-U-L-E. So A-S-O-U-T-H-E-R-N-J-U-L-E. And that's the same on Twitter. And on Instagram, you can follow me at _thePrettyProfessor or Pretty Petty Politics or both for all things political, social justice, and so forth. But, yeah, that's it. A Southern Jewel is the best way to follow me, though. Like I said, Clubhouse or Twitter. I'm really enjoying Clubhouse. I'm trying to figure out which type of rooms I enjoy the most. Mm-hmm. Christian's Late Night is hilarious. Just FYI, baby. and Twitter, you know, I like to have fun on Twitter, so I am serious sometimes, but I really do like having fun on Twitter. So that's not a professional account for me, so don't look for me to be a professional on Twitter. I'm just having fun as a free black woman.
Yes,
I got to follow you on Clubhouse. I just got Clubhouse. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, so me, I'm just on Twitter day and night at Mark Chappelle, MarkChappelle, like Dave Chappelle. We might be cousins. I don't know. But, yeah, like if you love talking about music, then I'm probably going to engage with you. I don't want to ignore anybody, like, unless it's, like, really raggedy and trolls. And then, nah. But otherwise,
right.
Yeah. Like, I love people online. Everywhere else, nah, go home.
Right. Okay.
Thank y'all so much for coming on. We're going to do the Savvy Heat and talk real quick, and we're going to wrap up.
Okay.
Go ahead, Will.
All right, no problem. Okay, Julie, Mark, hilarious. It's great. Now, what I have to say is that, hey, guys, 2020 has been wonderful. It's been magnificent, allowed us to focus here, and the Soul Savvy Show is growing. So share with your friends. If you like the show, you missed part of it, or you want to go and hear it again, go to studiowbuzz.com, and please leave a comment. Back to you, Q.
Thank y'all for all the Twitter likes. I like that y'all sharing this on Twitter. Thank y'all. I appreciate it. So, Savvy Heat and Talk real quick so we can wrap up. Will, Evie, Mark, the Savvy Heat and Talk is just whatever's on your mind. You just say whatever. That's what the Savvy Heat and Talk is. Or y'all want to go, y'all just throw them out there real quick.
Yeah, mine is, y'all know mine is, grab them by the balls. Grab 2020.
Grab them by the balls for 2020 and 2021. That's what.
And I know Tina talked about the musicians that we've lost and the people we've lost this year and transitioning being just a natural part of life. But I want to say to you, Donald Trump, please do not transition until Letitia James comes to see you because New York will be in your ass.
That's right. Little, no.
I can't wait.
Wiggy,
EB.
Throw it out there. Wiggy, throw it out there real quick. Wiggy, throw it out there.
Oh, y'all stay safe. That's it. Stay safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Julie. Julie, throw yours out there. Throw your Savvy Heat and Talk out. Throw it out there. Whatever's on your mind.
LDN.com.
You say you want Trump to go to jail? Throw that. Lock away. Throw the key away. Throw it all away. Mark, what's your... Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm saying, look, he is going. So y'all get y'all.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that lady in New York is not playing with him at all.
Yeah, ain't no party.
Yeah. Mark, throw yours out there. Throw your Savvy Heat and Talk out real quick.
Yeah, if people are doing something crazy, it's probably not about you. Everybody has their own problems. It's entirely separate. Has nothing to do with you. So just, like, have a good day and smile.
That's right. And mine is.
Yes, and to the.
The last days are up for you, Mushroombo. That's right.
I need him to get that what's it called? The Percocets, the Oxycontin, all them. I need him to get a whole cocktail of that and then get and wash it down with a pine salt martini. And I need the rest of the Trump camp to do that as well. Bill Barr, all them, like you mentioned earlier in your raid. Need all them to get a pine salt martini and have a great 2021.
Yeah,
and my Savvy Heat and Talk is for all those that, you know, wait for that stimulus check and, you know, out there on the hustle and grind, you ain't got to wait till 2021 to get it. So all those that's waiting for their sugar daddy, for that Cash App, you know, they got to do, you know, wash up in the sink going into the new year, and then, you know, years after that, you know, got to wash up sink service, you know, I'm here for y'all. And, you know, be where the money reside, where the money reside. You know, get your paper, okay? That's the, you ain't got to wait till 2021, okay? That rent is going
to
be new. So just keep that same energy, but you ain't got to wait till 2021. Get where the money resides right now.
That's
my Savage Easy Talk. Soul Savage Radio, y'all. We'll be back in the new year. Thank y'all for tuning in. Be out, y'all.
In the galaxy. When I'm floating with them, it's hard for me to see. I'm holding on to this dear earth as it spins around me. With a million miles of odometry,